Please pray with me. Lord Jesus, take my lips and speak through them. Take our hearts and speak to them. And take our wills and set them on fire with such love for yourself that we dare not be, after hearing your word, the same people we were before. Holy Spirit, move in power during this time. And we pray these things, Jesus, in your name. Amen. Have you ever had the experience where you're just kind of going through your day and you may have encountered a stranger, maybe on the sidewalk or maybe in an elevator or at the supermarket, and you interact with them as you do with a stranger, general greeting, and you move on until you have the strong sense, I know that person. I recognize that person. And you find yourself thinking, they look familiar. Suddenly you're not going through your regular day. I know them, but how do I know them? And your mind starts to go through circles. How do I know you? Who are you? Are you famous? Do I know you from my neighborhood or my past? Who are you? Yeah, that's not somebody's cell phone. I had to do that. You could turn that off. But that's the question you're asking. Who are you? And since that one is one of my childhood favorite songs, it captures the moment. In those moments, you're mentally grasping for how you recognize this person. And when you realize who they are, suddenly you're not doing what you were doing before, and suddenly you're interacting with that person in a very different way than you were when they were a stranger. It changes when you recognize them, when you know who they are, it changes how you interact. I had one of those occurrences. I was still working for the optical laboratory, and I was going to a doctor's convention. And I had a big piece of examination equipment on a dolly that I was rolling myself from an equipment van, and I needed to get it on an elevator. So I pressed the button in the parking garage. The elevator door opened, and I was trying to get this dolly with this really heavy piece of equipment over the step, and I couldn't do it. And the elevator's door starts to close. From inside, a hand stops the elevator door and holds it open for me. So I said, thank you very much. So I kind of muscle this thing in. I'm now sweaty. And I realize that I've trapped whoever it was in the corner of the elevator. And I look up, and it's Mario Lemieux. Now, if you don't know who Mario Lemieux is, he's one of the best NHL, National Hockey League players in the world. At his time, he was known to be as good or better than Wayne Gretzky. And at that time, he was both a player and the president of the Penguins. I knew exactly who he was. And it went from just a casual conversation, thank you very much, to I'm hyperventilating. My heart's beating out of my chest. And I don't really know what to say. I'm thinking, what do I say? How can I handle this? I don't hear the door, the ding, and the doors open. And I'm still wondering what to do, and I hear this voice say, excuse me, I need to get off the elevator, because I've got him trapped in the corner. So I move it out of the way, and he gets off, and I really didn't utter anything intelligent. The door's closed, and I thought, goodbye! You've all had those instances where you think it's a stranger, and you're fine, but when you begin to recognize them, suddenly you respond to them differently based on who they are. That question, who are you? The answer to that question transforms how you interact with them. Your tendency with strangers is just to give a generic greeting, acknowledge them with a smile. How are you doing? You don't really listen for the answer. But everything changes when you recognize them. When you know who they are, good or bad, when you recognize someone and know who they are, it changes how you respond to them. Whether they're famous or important, where you may treat them differently, or like me, you may act really awkwardly. When you realize they're infamous or in a negative way, you recognize them. Oh, that's that person. You may put up walls. You may kind of step back and judge them. You may realize they're in a lower class than yourself. For some reason, you judge them for who they are. Maybe not consciously, but you may back away. You respond. Who are you is a very important question in our daily lives, in all of your interactions. I believe that the question, who are you, as it pertains to Jesus Christ, is the most important question in life. And that's the question that's before us in our gospel reading from the Gospel of John. So I invite you to turn in the blue pew Bibles in front of you to page 896 so you can follow along. Or in your own Bibles, turn to John 10, beginning with verse 22. This historical account occurred during Jesus' final season of ministry on the earth. We read that it's winter, and it was the final winter before that spring's Passover. This interaction was his final public teaching before his passion. So one of my seminary professors referred to it as the climax of Jesus' public ministry. And I want you to remember the historical context here. Jesus has been teaching for 3 years, very publicly throughout the region, in and out of the synagogues, in the fields, around the lakes. He's been teaching his disciples. He's been instructing the crowds. He's been performing miracles of healing and deliverance, all very publicly. And at the same time, he had been challenging the cultural elite, the Jewish religious rulers and authorities. So for 3 years, the Jewish leaders had heard his teaching. They had observed the miracles through his hand. They had observed his challenging of their leadership, his challenging of their traditions and of their beliefs. They had heard his challenging of their understanding of God and who the Messiah would be. So for 3 years, they had grown to resent Jesus. They were now firmly against him. And they wanted to trap him. For 3 years, they had tried to get Jesus to tell them plainly who he was. And that's what happens right at the beginning of our reading. Jesus was walking in the temple, and we read in verse 24, so the Jews gathered around him, and they said to him, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Just tell us now. And the next verse, 25, captures his answer. Jesus said, I told you, and you do not believe. Jesus said, I've already told you, and you do not believe. If you look closely at the historical record in the New Testament of the Bible, you'll find Jesus did tell them clearly who he was throughout his ministry. We're going to now walk through a couple scriptures showing that throughout his ministry, Jesus told them who he was. The first comes from Matthew 7. In the midst of Jesus' teaching on a hillside, recasting the Jewish law in the teaching about the Beatitudes, Jesus proclaimed this, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord. He's making it clear. And we can see this as we look back on it. He's saying, I'm Messiah, and salvation is through me. In Mark chapter 2, this is the scene where the entire town has gathered around a house and filled the house. Jesus is teaching, and some friends bring a paralytic on a mat. They scratch open a hole in the roof and lower him down in front of Jesus. And Jesus says to him, son, your sins are forgiven. And the reading continues. Now some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts, why does this man speak like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? And Jesus answered them, so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he turns to the paralytic, I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home. They were thinking, how can he make himself equal with God and say that he can forgive sins? And Jesus says, that's exactly right. And he forgives the man's sins, and he causes him to walk. And he uses that term, Son of Man, the term that the prophets used to describe the Messiah. He used that in reference to himself. John 5, verses 16 through 18, Jesus said this, or this is what John records in these verses. This is why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. And that scripture continues to the next slide. For the works that the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I am doing bear witness about me that the Father has sent me. My Father is working and I too am working. He's making it clear he is the Son of God, that he is the Messiah. He's being clear. He's being clear here. In John 6, Jesus continues and he says this, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Clearly declaring, I am Messiah. And I have been sent by God the Father. I have come down from heaven. John 8, verses 23 through 25. In a later scene, go back to that slide. They said to him, those surrounding him, who are you? Jesus said to them, this is what I've been telling you from the beginning. I've already told you this. And that scene continues a little bit later in John 8. They ask, who do you make yourself out to be? And Jesus answered, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. And this is where the Jewish teachers turned on him. And that passage continues. So the Jews said to him, you're not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? And Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. He used the divine name Adonai for himself. He left nothing to question there. And the Jews picked up stones to throw at him. And now in John 10, again, the Jewish leadership surrounds him. How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. And he continued to say in verse 30, I and the Father are one. That's how our reading ended today. I and the Father are one. He left nothing to question. Jesus was clear about who he was. In our reading today, the next verse, the Jews again picked up stones to stone him. They couldn't bear the fact that he was declaring himself to be divine. God the Son living in flesh. Throughout his ministry, throughout the historical record, Jesus consistently and repeatedly made it clear who he was. Who are you, Jesus? I am one with God the Father. I am the Son of Man. Salvation and new life only are available through faith in my name, Jesus proclaimed. So who is Jesus? Who are you? Scripture's clear. Jesus is clear. And Jesus' followers were clear on who they believed Jesus to be. That he was God the Son, Messiah, risen from the dead, ascended into heaven, and they died for their belief in who Jesus was and is. But they didn't just know who he was, they believed in him. They put their faith in him. And they sought in everything to follow him, to obey him, to honor him, to acknowledge him, and to proclaim him through their lives. Because they knew who Jesus was, because they had faith in his name, they were changed, and they were never the same. Knowing who Jesus is not enough. We read in scriptures, even the evil spirits, even the demons know who Jesus is. In this passage from Mark chapter 1, Jesus was teaching in the synagogue, a very public setting. And we read this, and immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "I know who you are," the demons proclaimed. God's enemies know who Jesus is. The difference is they don't believe. They malign and slander him. They seek to tear you and I down as his followers. They seek to undo any ministry. They spit at the name of Jesus. "Who are you, Jesus?" That's the question before us, and I ask you, how do you answer that question? Is he who he said he was? The resurrected Messiah? The Savior of the world? And if you believe that, do you put your faith and trust in him? Trusting in him alone for new life now and eternal life when you die. Who are you, Jesus? I made the point earlier that before you know who someone is, when you're in the presence of a stranger, you treat them one way until you know who they are, and then you respond to them differently. It affects how you interact with them. Who are you, Jesus, is the question. And if you answer that question, he is Lord, he is Savior, then I want to ask you a second question. Does your knowledge of who Jesus is and your faith in his name cause you to respond to him differently now that you know who he is? Does your faith impact your life? Does your faith impact how you live? And can others see your faith as you live your life? If you ask the question, who is Jesus? Who are you, Jesus? Well, if you ask that to our Western culture, you'll get a myriad of responses. A man who is a great teacher, a great leader, a holy man, a person deified by his followers, but still just a man. You get many different levels of answers to that question. At times you'll hear the answer, he's God, he's Lord. But if you watch many who quickly say Jesus is the Son of God, their lives don't reflect their belief. They say Jesus is Lord, but their lives reflect that Jesus isn't on the throne in their hearts, that they are still in control. I believe there's clear proof that the New Testament accounts of Jesus' life are historical record. The biblical accounting of his resurrection and ascension into heaven happened. And they're recorded there. If you don't believe that, if you've been convinced otherwise, give me a call and let's go to lunch. I'd love to have a conversation with you. I'd love to dig a little deeper. Scripture proclaims that Jesus knew himself to be God incarnate, born in flesh, one with the Father in the Spirit, the Savior of the world. I believe that to be true. And I believe that makes the question, who is Jesus, of immense importance. Scripture proclaims that Jesus' followers in the early church believed him to be God the Son, Messiah, and Savior, and many died for their faith. Today, around the world, many still die because of their faith in Jesus Christ. They are unwilling to turn from their faith as they are killed or as they watch members of their family killed. If Jesus is who he said he is, then the answer to the question, who are you, Jesus, is the question. And the answer determines if you'll experience God's presence in new life now and if you'll experience his new life when you die. The one thing I can tell you for sure today is that you're all going to die. Amen. And I'm going to die. And the answer to the question, who are you, Jesus, determines for you, what is next? If you believe that Jesus is God the Son, he is who he said he is. If you've turned to him in faith, then Jesus has the right to interrupt your life. If Jesus is your Lord and Savior, he has the right to convict you of sin. He has the right to convict you to live your life differently, to challenge you to stop and join him in his work, to challenge you to turn from one thing or to lean into another. If he is who he said he is, it should change everything. If Jesus is Lord, he has the right to be sought daily through prayer, not just a one prayer at the beginning and then moving on with your life, but a conversation of prayer throughout the day. My heart for Redeemer, for us here, is that we would be followers who are marked, not as people who pray and then live, but who pray as we live and who listen for his voice. If Jesus is Lord and Savior, then he has the right to be sought daily in his word, which is living and active, not to be read as a checklist. Yep, I did my reading. But to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest his word so that he can use it to speak to you. He can use it to direct you, to challenge you. There are times when Jesus will interrupt your life and you won't like it. And guess what? He's still Lord. That's what's going on in my life in regard to this process in Pittsburgh. Jesus interrupted my plans for my life. And he invited me and Kim into a process. And as we read scripture together, as we prayed together, we felt God clearly leading us, stay in this process. You can trust me with what's next. We have not liked waiting, but we are trusting him. And I ask you to continue to pray for us. This coming Saturday is the election in the Diocese of Pittsburgh, and on Saturday afternoon, we're going to know one way or the other. But we've chosen to trust him, to obey what he's spoken to us out of his word. He's interrupted us, and we've chosen to follow him. If Jesus is Lord in your life, he has the right to ask you to follow him, to change direction, to stop in the midst of busyness, if you are willing to listen. How many of us can be in a room with someone but not listening to them? Don't raise your hand, Charlie. Happens to me all the time. To hear God's voice, we need to be listening, and we need to be willing to stop and join him. He has the right to ask anything of you. And I got a story just from yesterday. Frequently, you all know that I run. And when I run, I pray. And frequently, as I'm praying, God may lead me to stop and pray with someone. Sometimes it's a police officer. Sometimes it's a homeless person. Or sometimes it's just somebody on a walk. I don't stop and pray with everybody. But as God prompts me, I got to stop. And I say, excuse me, my name's Bill. As I run, I pray. Is there anything I can pray for you today? I get a myriad of responses to that question. But I pray anyway. And if God leads me to, I'll say, can I pray right now? Well, I was in the midst of a run yesterday. And I was coming across the Acosta Bridge. And at the top of the Acosta Bridge, a young man was walking towards me with a backpack. Well, he stopped me and he said, excuse me, can you tell me how to get to the landing? And we were on, if you're facing the city, on the left side of the Acosta, so there's no easy way to get to the landing from that side of the sidewalk. So I thought, well, you want, tell you what, why don't I just walk with you? I'll show you where it is. So I stopped my run and I began to walk with him. And he told me his name was Shaggy. And he told me that his mom had died the day before and that he had hitchhiked to Jacksonville and he wasn't sure what he was going to do next. And I said, I'm sorry. And then he told me he was hungry. He hadn't eaten since the day before. I'm running. I've got all my running clothes. I don't have it. I said, I'm sorry. He said, I'm thirsty. I helped them set up for that 5K over there, and they gave me this bottle of water. And I said, well, you know, we're walking in this direction. City Rescue Mission's right over there. They can probably help you. So if you go to the lane, and I told him where it was, and we continued to walk together. And I was thinking, is he making this up? But I just had a sense he was being real. Then he said, I'm hoping to find a church or a mission that gives away clothes because I need some shoes. And I looked down, and he was wearing these flimsy, really cheap flip-flops. And I heard the thought in my head, give him your shoes. And I immediately said, no, these are my good running shoes. He didn't ask me for my shoes, but that was my thought. So as we're walking, I'm now not listening to him anymore while I'm having this conversation in my head. Well, I've got lots of old running shoes. I'll just get some. You know, I could run home and then I could meet him, or I can, but I just need to quiet that. So when we got down there, I showed him where the landing was. It was about a 15-minute walk, and I said, you know, I don't have any money with me, so I can't buy anything to eat. I don't have anything to give you, but I believe that Jesus Christ is God the Son, that he rose from the dead, he died for you and for me, and that he hears our prayers. Could I pray for you? And he said, yeah, would you pray for me and for my 4 kids? And so I prayed for him. And after I prayed, he said, now what was your name again? I said, Bill. Shaggy, it was really nice meeting you. And as I turned and went away from him, the conversation again started in my head about the shoes. Well, does he need shoes? Well, no, but if I go home, will I be able to find him again? Will I? And then I began to think, okay, Lord, I know it says in Matthew somewhere that if someone asks you for your shirt, give him your coat also. And I know it says in Scripture when Jesus said, when you do this to the least of these, you do it unto me. And I thought, is there anything wrong with, am I going to regret this? Could this be God prompting me? So I stopped, and I started running back towards where Shaggy was walking, and I called to him, and I had him stop, and I thought, well, here's my fleece. My feet are size 9.5, but my running shoes are size 10.5 because these shoes are sized differently. And I said, Shaggy, what size are your feet? He said, 10.5. I went, okay. So I took off one of my shoes, and there were some people stopped at a stoplight watching this, and I could hear some of the windows rolling down. But I said, do these fit? He said, they fit perfectly. So I gave him my other shoe, and I said, well, God bless you. And I ran 3 miles home in my socks, which was not comfortable, but I didn't get any blisters. And I rejoiced because God invited me into his work. I rejoiced that I heard him, and I got to join him in that. And it's not much for me to buy another pair of shoes. And I'm not telling you this to say I'm a great guy, because I was this close to running home in my own shoes to get my old smelly shoes, and here, you can have these. I tell you this because it's an opportunity, it's an example of an opportunity that you will have every day if you live with Jesus Christ on the throne of your life, if you listen for his voice, and if you join him in his work. If you don't yet have a good answer to the question, who is Jesus? Who are you, Jesus? I don't want you to go another day without knowing the new life that you have in his name. And if you don't have an answer to that, ask someone sitting around you. Call me. I'll buy you lunch. Let's start a conversation. But if Jesus is on the throne of your life, I encourage you to seek him daily throughout the day. Walk with him as you are in relationship with him, and listen to him. He will speak to you. Bring scripture into your mind as he did with me. And as you listen for him and choose to follow him, watch as he not only changes lives around you, but as he changes your life for the glory of his name. Amen. Lord Jesus, may this be true of each of us as we seek to follow you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.